you know, or I don't do energy drinks, but I know guys, they do the energy drinks and all of that stuff. My body craves, and it tells me I'm craving this stuff. When we get in tune with our spiritual man, it'll let us know what we need, what we are craving, what he is craving. And so David's coming in, and we're coming from the viewpoint that the table is prepared for me, and the Lord is the table, the Lord is the feast. And so tonight, I really want to come in, and I want to talk about a couple different things. Number one, I want to talk about why do we feast? Why do we eat at the table? Why do we eat of the Lord? And number two, I want to talk about how. I think it will be real practical tonight. Why do we feast and how do we feast? Why do I need to, feast on the Lord? And most Christians, man, they're good with just trying to do it on their own. They're good with letting their lifestyle, society, culture, the ease of being American, you know, because it's pretty easy being an American, guys, let's face it. You know, compared to most countries out there, we got it licked pretty doggone good. And it's easy, and it's a comfortable life and all of that stuff. So much of the church is, why do I need to feast on the Lord? You know, just let me come in and let me get saved. They view God as a tool for salvation, and they're thankful for that, but they don't view Him as He is my delicious feast. They don't view Him as He is. Jesus came in John 6, and He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. And He says, I'm the bread that's come down from heaven, and it's come down from heaven for you. I've come for you. I've come for the sinners. I've come for those that are in need. I came for the broken. I came for the hurting. I came for those in bondage. And He says, I'm that bread. And you remember the religious leaders are like, you know, Moses got bread in the wilderness, and the people got bread in the wilderness, and this manna and all of this stuff. And how do you say you're the bread of life? And He's kind of like, dude, I'm the one that provided all of that bread. And now I'm here in bodily form, and I want y'all to feast on me. So He's declaring Himself the same thing that David talked about in Psalm 23. So I want us to come in, and I want to ask ourselves, why do we need to feast on the Lord, and why do we feast in the natural? Why do we eat in the natural? First thing's real simple, real common. It's for sustenance. Why do you eat? For sustenance. You eat so you have strength so your body can keep functioning. As a Christian, your spirit man cannot continue to function if you do not feast on Him and eat of Him. It can't. So many people, they're one of two things. They're either anorexic or they're bulimic. They're either anorexic or they're bulimic. They want to come in and they want to starve themselves spiritually because they don't have time for it. You know? Or they're worried about their image. You know? Why do so many young girls, it's a big thing now, you know, they want to starve themselves and all that stuff because they think all of them have got to, you know, look like a supermodel. You know, be 6 foot tall and weigh a buck 10. And, you know, that's kind of unrealistic. It's definitely not healthy. And we want to come in and we want to do the same thing spiritually because we're so concerned about our image. I think that's a big hang up with men in worship. They're worried about what, you know, I gotta be macho and I gotta be all of this and there's no way I can lose it down there and weep and all of this stuff and dance before the Lord. No. They'll say that's not my personality. And yet they'll act like a fool when Georgia plays. Right? Or you fill in the blank with whatever your favorite team is. They'll go to a bar, man, and you get a couple beers in them and good golly. You know, they hitting on, you know, I'm just not my personality and I'm shy and all that stuff. And they hitting on every girl in the bar and out there and trying to dance and all of that stuff. Y'all seen it? Come on, y'all act like y'all Jesus' first cousin. They ain't never been there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all were that guy. Y'all were that guy. I've been that guy. You know? I got it going on. All right. But yet we come in the setting of kingdom, and we come in with the setting of God, and it's all of a sudden, I got to get my stuff together, and I've got to have this image and all that stuff, and you're starving yourself spiritually. So we feed on Him as a matter of sustenance. I feed on Him so I can stay healthy. We come in, and here's the thing too also, guys. On feeding on Him as a matter of sustenance, It's so that we don't fill our lives up on junk. One of the big problems that I have with modern church today is most of it's fluff. Because they'll preach a language that people want to hear. They'll sing worship in a manner, and I say in a manner in which it's fluff. And we, Lord knows, we can't go back into that and get deep because we can't get caught up in worship because we got to stick to our program and our criteria. You know, can't be a thing where we just get lost in the Holy Ghost and, you know, we sing one. How many of y'all sang Trading My Sorrows so many times? It's like, good golly, yeah. I've been at the ramp and places like that, man, and you sing one song for 2 hours, but you are so trashed in His presence. It's going past the fluff to where we're really pressing in and we're crying out to Him. And so our diet cannot be... Y'all don't let your kids eat like that. Aaliyah's so picky about how she lets her kids eat, usually, you know. It's coming in and everything's got to be organic and all of this stuff. And that's good. That's awesome. It's better than, you know, eating at McDonald's and being like, and all of this stuff. But we come in and we are so concerned in the natural, but we fail miserably in the spiritual. Because the sustenance that we feast ourselves on has to be healthy. It has to be healthy. If the Word is not getting up in you and challenging you, if your prayer life's not challenging you, then you need to change what you're reading. You need to change how you pray. If worship is not challenging you, you need to change the way you worship. Because perhaps you're coming in and you're catching the desserts or maybe the appetizer, but you're not getting into the meat of it. And God wants us to get into a place of sustenance that is healthy for us. So the first thing on why do we feast on the Lord is it is a matter of sustenance for us, guys. It is imperative that we do this, all right? Imperative. You remember the story, I brought this up Sunday about Jonathan, and they're out fighting this battle, I think it was perhaps the Battle of Ephraim Wood. And they were engaged with the enemy, and everybody was becoming faint because they had been fighting all day long, it was hot, and David comes across this honeycomb, and his dad had already, Jonathan, and his dad Saul had made this decree that no man eats until the battle is won and all of this stuff. Well, dude, he needed sustenance so he could fight the battle. So he stops and he eats the honeycomb and it revives him and he becomes a mighty warrior again. And we've got to have strength for this journey. We've got to have sustenance for this journey. I can even tell a difference. Now, we just got back from vacation. We were down in the Caribbean and we had real spotty Wi-Fi. And I mean, I could check a few emails and, you know, get just tidbits of Sports Center, but it was not enough where I could come in and do podcasts and live streaming and all of that stuff and everything. And I was reading a book, man. I read a book by Mark Rutland while we were down there and all that. So it wasn't like I was, you know, in this awful place, away from God. But typically in my life, I spend a lot of time listening to the Word. I spend a lot of time listening to podcasts, sermons from, you know, Bill Johnson and Damon and Chris Volaton and Irwin McManus and all of these guys. And I make that a steady diet in my life. I could tell that I went a week without that. And when I got back, my body craved it. My spirit man craved it. So I started hitting the podcast as soon as I got back. Started getting Word in me. It wasn't the fact that I missed Damon or Irwin McManus, but I missed the Word being in me. All right? I needed it for sustenance, for spiritual strength. A lot of times when we say, man, I'm just a dry, I'm in a dry place and all that. You know why? Because you're anorexic. You're anorexic. I'm not going to spend time preaching on bulimic, but we'll come in and we'll get good word and we'll feast on the Lord and we'll go right out there and we'll regurgitate it out in the yard or when we get home and make it of no effect to us. So the first thing of why do we eat, why do we feast at the table, why has God prepared us a table for us to feast on, is flat out of sustenance because we need it. We need it. I really want to talk tonight about us strengthening ourselves in the Lord. And that's what this table that is prepared before me, it is strengthening ourselves in God. strengthening ourselves in Him. You look at people throughout the Scripture, and they are always strengthening them. So when they're going through adversity, when they're going through hard times, when they're going through challenges, when they're going through uncertainty, facing uncertainty, you constantly see them, whether it's David, the apostles, whoever, they are strengthening themselves in the Lord. When Mary went to spend the time with Elizabeth during her first trimester, you know what she was doing? She was strengthening herself in the Lord. And Elizabeth, on the other hand, when she was there and Mary came up and gave her the salutation, John the Baptist leapt in her womb, and vice versa. You got all of this baby activity going on in the first trimester of these ladies. And then the whole thing from God was that these two women were feasting on Him in the presence of each other, so they were strengthening themselves in each other. So this thing on feasting is all about us strengthening ourselves in Him. And so we come in and we do it for sustenance. We're replenishing what has been burned up, used up, or emptied. We're replenishing those things. You have to replenish those things. The second thing, and I think the church is absolutely missing the boat on this. I really, really do. Why do we feast at the table? Why do we eat? For celebration. For celebration. Our kids tell me and Lori we're food whores. Can I say that in church? I already did, so, you know. They say, y'all are food whores. I love good food. We'll be going places and we'll be going on trips and all of that, and we'll already be planning meals and checking out restaurants and all of that stuff. We're going out to Sturgis to work the bike rally and all of that stuff, and we're gonna fly into Montana and then drive from Montana over and all this stuff. And I'm already making reservations at a restaurant I'm gonna eat at next Saturday night, because I don't want to miss this only night I can eat there, and I don't want to miss, you know, eating at that little restaurant, little boutique restaurant that, you know, supposed to be number one in Bozeman and all of that stuff. And food should be a celebration, not something that's just tolerated. It should be celebrated and not tolerated. I believe the church stomachs Calvary's cross because they know that heaven is attached to the other end of it, but they fail to totally celebrate who Christ is and what He has done for us and what He is doing for us. We don't want to embrace a bloody gospel. Jesus comes in and says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they drop like flies. He had 15,000 people there, and so many people left. He's looking at His disciples and said, y'all leaving also? His disciples celebrated who He was, but most people couldn't celebrate the talk of a cross. Even His disciples, Peter came in, and Jesus starts talking about the cross, and he said, no, sir, that is not going to happen. Jesus turned around and looked at him, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because he failed to celebrate what was about to happen. You know who did celebrate what was about to happen? Mary. Bam. She comes in. She starts anointing Him with oil and worshiping Him at the supper at Bethany. And she's doing, breaks the vow with the ointment that's the perfume that's worth a year's wages. And you know what she's doing? She's celebrating it. She is celebrating. Quit tolerating Christ and celebrate it. Quit tolerating the Holy Spirit. There's so many churches, man, they barely even tolerate the Holy Spirit, much less welcome Him in. Man, I just want more and more and more and more. Learn to celebrate. Y'all, in the natural, y'all start learning to celebrate food. Y'all start learning to celebrate. I'm serious. Why do you think God gave us this stuff, man, it's not just sustenance. If it was just that, man, we'd be eating just a little old cubes that, you know, somehow dropped out. He wants us to enjoy this. In the natural, but in the spiritual, let's learn to celebrate Him. Let's learn to celebrate the aspects of Him. The Word says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, David said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And let's celebrate who He is. Let's celebrate who He is to us. Let's celebrate what He's doing in our lives. And I'm celebrating growing old with her. Because it's a God thing. I mean, it's such a God thing. You know, just the blessings and how rich we are in Him and all of that stuff. Y'all should be celebrating right now what God's doing in y'all's lives. Y'all like, man, I'm in a tough place, man, and it's Blake House ain't no fun, man, and I'm staying over with a bunch of old guys, and you know, have you showered with these guys? My gosh, you know, how can I celebrate this and all? But you have to have the vision to see what God is doing in this and through this. Therefore, you'll learn to celebrate it. You'll learn to celebrate it. You also learn to celebrate it. You know who just had the time of their life in the last couple weeks? All these little summer league NBA guys. That's where the rookies go play. They get to show their stuff and all that. LeBron wasn't down there playing. He was hanging out courtside one day, checking out the Lakers he's going to be playing with. These veterans, they ain't celebrating that. If they asked him, man, will you go play in the summer league? But heck no. That's for the rookies, not. But those rookies are still sitting there saying, I can't believe I got drafted. I can't believe I got picked by the whoever you fill in the blank in the first round. So they out here celebrating what somebody that had done way on down the road would be tolerating. And I believe we as Christians have got to the place where we tolerate the gospel instead of celebrating the gospel. We tolerate ministry instead of celebrating ministry. We tolerate doing the work of the Father. You know what Jesus said? He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father that sent me. He said, that's my meat. That is my meat. And he celebrated what the Father had sent him to do. He celebrated who he was in the Father. And so I want us to get to the point and understand that, man, this stuff is for celebration. I put in my notes here on celebration, I put food was intended to be celebrated. We can say spiritual or we can say physical. It was a culmination and a celebration of the harvest. Now, we don't have that as much in our small global world that we used to have, because I can get anything any time of the year, because they're going to import it from Chile. They're going to import it from Peru. They're going to bring it in from Florida. But before you had all of that, you know what you ate? What was being harvested. And you celebrated what was being harvested, because everything that was being harvested was telling a story. And so I need, as I mature and grow in this thing, if I really want to flourish, he said, I give you life, not just life, but I give you life more abundantly. And we think the abundant life is all about what kind of stuff I can get and how I can be advanced and all that stuff. The abundant life is learning to love and appreciate and celebrate every moment that I'm in and everything that I'm walking through. I believe the abundant life is more of a perspective than it is a position. I really think it is. It's more of a perspective instead of a position. And he says, I come and I give you this abundant life. And I'm sitting here, and if the season, the harvest season for me in this moment, the thing that is being harvested is mercy and grace, then I need to celebrate that mercy and grace instead of wallowing in the sin that had to bring in the forgiveness and mercy and grace. Y'all remember when David sinned with Bathsheba and they birthed the child? He killed Uriah. We all know the story on all that stuff. And God came in and basically said, David was like, God, you can take anything you want from me. Just don't take your hand from me. That's what he wrote in the 51st Psalm. He said, take my kingdom from me. He prayed for the child. I mean, prayed with sackcloth and ashes, prayed his guts out for the child. And I'm sure he was saying, God, kill me, but don't kill the baby. And God came in and God judged him and God took the baby. And the baby, the baby did not survive. And immediately, everybody thought, oh my gosh, David's going to lose it and go off the deep end and all that. And you know what he did? He knew that it was judgment from the Lord. In this particular instance, don't try to take Old Testament stuff and bring it in today, but in this particular instance, it was the judging hand of God in his life. But immediately, instead of him freaking out and getting a sword and going after everybody and going after himself and all that, the Word said that he got up and he bathed himself and he put on clothes and he immediately ate a meal and all that. And they're like, we don't get it. While he's like, hey man, I'm experiencing God right now in a place of mercy and grace and forgiveness. And I understand he judged my sin, but he's a just judge. He's a righteous judge. And so I believe he came out of that, and that's when he wrote the 51st Psalm. And he was feasting on God as the place of a forgiving Father, of a merciful Father, of a just judge. And so he was celebrating that. And so I want us to understand that every position we're in, it's almost like a parent when you come in, and I tell my girls this all the time, is celebrate every season of life that your children go through. Celebrate the baby smell, because the baby smell don't last forever. Celebrate the toddler. Lori, sometimes, they want to, Gigi, she's, Sometimes she don't just sit next to Jesus. I think she's Jesus incarnate to them. And the two little ones, you know, one will be on one hip, one will be on the other hip, one's in her lap, the other one's jealous, and Eden and Kennedy, it's a contest of who can sit closest to Jesus. You remember the disciples, their mama came and said, let one of my boys sit on the right, one on the left. That's the way they are with her. But I tell her, you know, even when she's exhausted and her back's knotted up, I tell her, I said, it won't be too much longer, they won't be crawling up in your lap like that. And so we tell them, we say, enjoy the seasons, enjoy the seasons, enjoy every moment. And what we're doing in that is we're saying, celebrate where you are. Celebrate. Quit trying to be somewhere where you're not. And I see it with people all the time. Life passes them by because they all wish they were back 18 years old and in high school again. Or 25. And living the life. And they fail in celebrating where they are right now. You know? I mean, I get it, guys. I'm out of shape. I'm old. I need to lose 10 pounds. I got too much right here. I'm bald-headed. But I don't want to go back to being, you know, I'll show you pictures when I was, you know, just married and 21, and dude, I had a bunch of hair. And I weighed 150 pounds, and I used to work out and actually be in good shape. I actually had some muscles in here. But I don't long to go back to that because I'm too busy celebrating where I am right now. Not saying I still don't need to lose 10 pounds, but I'm celebrating where I'm at right now. I am so comfortable being a 56-year-old poppy. I'm so comfortable being a gray-bearded father of this house. And I don't have to go back and do all of that, and I'm not looking to what's next. I'm celebrating what's right now. A lot of us, the flip side is we'll keep looking to, boy, when this happens and when this happens, and you're missing the moment. You're missing the moment. And you're not celebrating, feasting on Him on where He is. When He's Jireh, I want to celebrate. He's being Jireh in my life right now. When He's peace, I want to celebrate. Last night, you know what I was celebrating? Shammah. The Lord is here. Man, I came in and was just overwhelmed by His presence. I, whoo, son. I was blessed, man. There wasn't a parking spot in the yard out there. I mean, it's just full. And half the women in here, I'd seen them and I knew a lot of them, but they don't go to this house. But they came for something. And last night, you know what they were doing? They were celebrating and feasting on His presence. And I hope the enemy didn't rob it today. I hope they're at their church, taking it to their church tonight. But it was thinking, I mean, you drove by, Randy texted me, said, dang, man, the parking lot's full of women. You know, our cars. And I was like, yeah. Awesome, man. Awesome. So celebrate where you're at right now. Some of you are going through some tough places. But you can celebrate His faithfulness in those tough places. When we learn to celebrate every season, that's when we find joy in the journey. That's when we find joy in the journey. And so He comes in, and it's for celebration. It's a culmination and a celebration of the harvest. Every meal should tell a story. As we feast on Him, we are celebrating Him. I told y'all the other night about Saturday night, me and Lori, we were, you know, cooking the house, and it was just us, and we had a big time, man. It was a beautiful sunset, and we were just sitting out, and she said, man, let's stay home. I don't go nowhere. Let's just cook some stuff. So, you know, so we got the pig out of the freezer that we had put up a few months earlier and cooked some big old pork chops and cooking stuff from the garden that my mama had picked and all of that. And it was an awesome meal and an awesome evening, but the whole meal that we ate, it told a story. Told a story of a pig that we had raised up and harvested. And yeah, we slaughtered her and butchered her and all that stuff. But that was her purpose of being here. And so we were celebrating that. All the vegetables. You know, my mom, my 80-something-year-old mom, she's one that was out hoeing the rows and picking the vegetables and all that. Everything tells us. Every meal that I eat on Him is my history with God. In the midst of adversity, and in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of hurt, in the midst of pain, you can eat a meal in that you can't eat in other places. Y'all see what I'm saying? I'm not going to over-spiritualize this, but y'all remember when David was running from Saul, and he went to the priest, and he says, man, have you got any holy bread? The only time that I see of David eating holy bread. But that was a meal that he could celebrate. Because the Lord's priest provided for him. And to me, that was telling him that I see where you are and you are not going to go without. And then he comes in and he says, "Have you got a weapon?" He said, he was lying. He said, I'm on an urgent mission for the king. And I had to leave in such a hurry that I didn't bring any food and I didn't have a weapon. And he said, you might as well say the monastery. I mean, it was at the where the school of the prophets was. I mean, that ain't where I go looking for ARs. But he comes in and he says, you know, he had the holy bread and he gave him the holy bread. And he says, by the way, do you by any chance have a weapon? And you know what the priest told him? He said, matter of fact, I do. You know what he had? He said, I've got the sword of Goliath that you took from him. The sword of Goliath that you cut his very head off with this sword, and you can have this sword. What greater weapon, what finer weapon for him to get? What was he doing in that moment? He was running for his life from King Saul, but in the midst of that, he stopped and God said, I am Jireh to you. I'll provide for you. You're not going to do without. I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to nourish you and I'm going to give you a weapon that you can defend yourself and be victorious with. And I'll tell you something, guys, he was feasting in the presence of every enemy that was coming against his mind. I love that. What's the odds? He didn't say, man, I'll go over there because I know that's where they got Goliath's sword stashed. Of all the places, who for them to have it? That is so cool to me. That is so God to me. He comes in. He says, I know what you have need of. And I've got it for you right here. So every meal that we eat should tell a story. Can y'all imagine David later on, and they're like, cool, man, there's a Goliath sword. I ain't seen that thing in years. Where'd you get that? And he said, well, let me tell you. The Lord had it for me. The Lord had it for me. You know? See, you recognize that with your dog, brother. You've been wanting one. You told me you've been wanting one. You've been waiting on one, and you said, Lord's going to give me one. And then when we talked, we hadn't seen each other for a week, and we talked Sunday, and you said, man, the Lord, I said, how was your week, man? You know, how was it, Hope Chapel and all that stuff? And you said, man, the Lord gave me a dog. He gave me a fully trained dog. He knows the desires of our heart. So now, you know what? You know how that dog's always going to be identified? As the dog that the Lord gave me. It's the dog that the Lord gave me. One reason that I love my little dog so much, I got a little Brittany Spaniel, and I absolutely love her. She's an awesome dog. She's just sweet, best disposition and all that stuff. I mean, she is. She's awesome. But one reason that I love her so much is I had another dog that I was really attached to from a breeder in Kentucky, and she got killed, and I called the breeder up, and I said, you know, man, my Holston got killed, and I just want to see what you had. And she said, I've actually got a litter of puppies that would be Holston's sister. And said, do you want to get one of these that would be Holston's sister from the same mama, from Georgia, the same mama? And I said, absolutely. And it means more to me because she's Holston's sister. And I'm like, whew. Because it tells a story. Not just the fact she's a sweet dog, but it tells a story. And so every meal that we eat with the Lord is, I remember the day. I remember the day that he went through this with me. As you guys move on and y'all start doing life later on, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, you can remember God's faithfulness when I went through my 10 months at the Blake House, or I went through my 20 months at the Blake House. I remember how God delivered me. I remember how I found myself. I remember how I found the Lord. I remember how faithful he was to me. And so that's a meal that you can feast on right now, that 10 years from now, you can go back to it. I can feast on meals that happened to me before I even knew the Lord. I've done some stupid stuff and I shouldn't be here. Some stupid stuff. I mean, we all have. Man. I remember being a high school kid and being so drunk. You know, we're driving through Tallapoosa. Used to, you could buy beer when you were 15. You know, just go to the drive-thru window. It wasn't no big deal and all that stuff. Now, I remember driving about 5 miles in the middle of the night without even any lights on. That's how hammered we were. And the cops pulled us over. You know? And I look back on that now and I'm like, if it was not for the hand of the Lord, I shouldn't even be here to be her dad. You know? But God's hand. And we've all got our stories of His faithfulness. And it was something then that we didn't recognize it, and I'm not saying celebrate it then, but we can look back now and remember the story of when God did this. Remember the story when God did that. Remember the story. I want to have those monuments and I want to have those landmarks, but they're meals that I feasted on Him that was telling a story. And I want it to resonate in my spirit the rest of my days. I love one thing that I see, and perhaps I think it's very true, but perhaps it's romanticized a little bit in the movies. I don't know. But I love the portrayal of the Native Americans and the elders and the Native Americans. We see it in the Bible, in the Old Testament, with the way that the Lord admonishes the children of Israel and tells them to do this. But they want to sit down. The elders want to sit down with the youngers and the younger ones, and they said, I want to tell you the story of our people. It is important for you to understand the story of our people. It is important for me for them to know the story of our walk with God. It's important for my grandchildren to know the story of our walk with God. That's why it was so important for me for us to have a family cemetery on our farm. Lord put that in mine and Lori's heart a few years ago. And I went to my mom and dad and I said, we want this. Me and Lori's getting buried on this farm. You know, it's been in our family for 53 years. And we're getting buried on this farm, and we would like for y'all to say, and I go now, and as I'm out there cutting the grass and weeding and around where my father is buried and on our farm and all that stuff, the fact that he is buried right there tells a story of a man and God's faithfulness to a man. And someone's vision and of a legacy and all of that stuff. And so that's how when we feast on the Lord, not only is it sustenance, but it's celebration. It's celebration. And so I want us to be a people that understand that and enjoy the food and celebrate the food. Quit treating spiritual food like it is simply a means to an end. Don't treat it like it's a means to an end. I mean, when y'all think in fine dining, y'all don't think fast food up here. I eat so much fast food, it's repulsive to me, but I still do it, you know, more than I guess I have to. It's just, you know, it's easy, right? It's easy. It's easy to go through Jack's drive-thru or Mickey D's or whatever. But you can't convince me that this is fine dining and awesome food and to be celebrated. You know what it is? It's get by. It's sustaining, but that's about it. God wants us to elevate our relationship and elevate our experiences to where they become celebration and not just enduring. Celebrating, not just tolerating. And I believe the church has fallen. A lot of the church has fallen out of love with Christ, and they simply tolerate because it's the thing that's going to get them to the next thing. It's the thing that's going to get me there. And so we tolerate Him instead of celebrating. What time is it? I got 10 minutes, 11 minutes. All right, that's the why. Everybody good on that? Comments, questions? Anybody got anything I want to throw out there? Yes. Well, what we'll do also with the shame thing, and I think a big tool that the enemy uses on us, and we're talking about the bulimia aspect, where we come in and we feast on the Lord and then we regurgitate it. And I think really one aspect of that is the enemy will come in. He hits me with this, and I think he does every minister that's out there. You know, Sunday evenings sometimes are tough. Mondays sometimes are tough. And you'll come in and you'll be under the anointing of God while you're ministering. I asked Jen last night, when I came in, I was talking to Jen, I said, so how was it? You know, did the Lord give you words for people? I saw you ministering to some people when I got here, but did the Lord give you some words from people and all that stuff? And I said, were you flowing in the anointing? And, you know, Jen was being all humble and all that. She said, I said, come on, Jen, you know if you were anointed or not. And she said, yeah, I was anointed. But you know what the enemy will do on the heels of that? The enemy will come in and put shame, or try to put shame on us and say, you're not worthy to be anointed. Because I know you know the wickedness of your heart. I know the wickedness of your heart. And he'll come in. Every one of us has got hit with that, haven't we? Where he comes in and says, man, you ain't worthy. Who do you think you are? I know what you were thinking. I know how anger rose up in your heart. Remember, that's what the Israelite told Moses when he came in and they were fighting among each other. And he said, boy, man, don't fight. Y'all are brethren. He said, what are you going to do? You're going to kill me like you did this other guy? Like you did the Egyptian? And so immediately Moses fled because the enemy came in and put shame on him. And so we'll be in these good places with God and we'll feast on His goodness. And the enemy will come in with shame and all of these things. And you know what we'll do? Because we'll say, I'm not a worthy vessel. And here's the thing. In yourself, you're not. But because of His righteousness that's imputed into you. That's why it's so important for me to take this. You know what that represents? The blood. You know what the blood does? That's His righteousness. The bread's His holiness. It's His purity. The blood's His righteousness. And when I take that, I am consuming Him. I'm feasting at His table. And I am taking in His righteousness. And that delivers me from guilt, from shame, from unworthiness. Because I am made righteous because He is righteous. It's not on my own account. It's not on my own strength. It's because He's righteous. That's what will keep you from from regurgitating and throwing up the goodness of God in your life. Let me hit just a couple things that I want to touch on before we run out of time. How do we feast on the Lord? This is important. How do we feast on the Lord? How do we eat of Him being the table? Prayer. Prayer. Jesus was always resorting to prayer. He was going up in the mountain to pray. Sometimes He'd do it with the disciples, sometimes He'd do it alone. But He was communing with the Father in the form of prayer. All right? Now, the Word says pray without ceasing. We can do that in our meditation. I can do that while I'm making handlebars. I can meditate on the Lord while I'm doing whatever. You know, I can do that some of my great prayer times sitting in a deer stand, you know. And just connecting with the Lord and all that. But prayer is a tremendous way and one of the most essential ways to feast on the Lord. Okay? And I think that's one of the big significant things about our prayer language. About praying in the Holy Ghost. The Word says it builds us up. It says it builds us up by praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? And I don't even have time to teach all of that. But prayer. I'm gonna hit these real quick. Worship. We feast on Him through worship. We feast on Him through worship. David did this. David was a champion of this. He did this through worship. I didn't even read any scripture. Well, I did. I read the 23rd Psalm. We see this as you look in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Y'all remember Paul and Silas when they're arrested in Philippi for preaching the gospel and people getting saved and all the pagans and the Jews and everybody got ticked off and all that. And so they beat them and put them in stocks and threw them in the bottom of the jail and everything. And Paul and Silas came in on that. And what does the Word say? It said that they began to pray and sing. Pray and worship. Pray and worship. They weren't doing that, so they said, hey man, I'm going to pray and worship because that old boy needs to hear that over there. They were feasting on the Lord. What they were doing, Randy. When we're fatigued, y'all know something that happens to me without exception. Without exception. I can come into church and I can be dog bone tired. Me and Lori were waiting for Emily and Betsy to get ready and we came down and we were sitting in the kitchen and literally sitting there for like 3 minutes and I about dozed off sitting there for like 3 minutes just because I'm fatigued. I'm really tired right now. Lord's like, you falling asleep? And I said, man, I am dog tired. But you know what? I'm like the Energizer Bunny right now. And you know why? And it never fails. I don't care what condition I come into this house in or in His presence in. I always am revived by His presence. You know what that is? Feasting on the presence of the Lord. Jehovah Shammah. Feasting on His presence. Feasting on His presence. And that's what Paul and Silas were doing. They're sitting here and they start praying, they start singing, and heaven responds to this. And they're not sitting here saying, if that had been a bunch of 21st century Christians, they've been sitting there, I can't believe they beat me, and everybody abandoned me, and this is awful, and where's my friends at? And God, I'm mad at you because you let all this bad stuff happen to me, and running our lip out at him or shaking our fist if we're not in stocks and all of that stuff. And they're sitting there feasting on him. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? They're like, man, yeah. You see the same thing in Acts 4, Acts 5 with the disciples where they're coming in and they heal the guy at the gate called Beautiful. And the religious leaders call him in because they're teaching in the temple and all these folks are getting saved and this guy got healed. And y'all know the story. They threatened him and beat him and all of that stuff. And doggone man, they done run right back to their company of believers and they're coming in and talking about how awesome it is to be able to worship God and to teach the Word. And it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. An earthquake shook the place. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit again. Many subsequent fillings, but anyway. They received that. And they were feasting on the Lord. Feasting on the Lord. So I've got prayer. I've got worship. Let me tell you something else I think is very, very important. Connecting with other believers. Connecting with, how do you feast with the Lord, feast on the Lord? By connecting with other believers. There's a duality to this. There's two things. Is connecting with other believers and ministering to other believers through words of edification, encouragement, you know. When we honor people, and rightly see people, will come in and will edify and will encourage. And as we are doing that, then you know what we're doing? We're feasting on the Lord. We're feasting on, so important. We are feasting on the Lord. I got a text this morning, 5:30. I was leaving to go to work. My buzzer went, I'm like, who in the world's texting me at 5:30 in the morning? It was Damon, you know. And he sent me this, you know, text, and he's like, you know, hey man, this the Lord's had y'all on my heart last couple of days, you know, and brought y'all to my mind a lot last couple of days. I just want y'all to know how much I love you and honor you guys, and you know, just so thankful for our long relationship and all of that stuff. And so me and him were texting back and forth a little bit. You know what I was doing as I was reading those texts and texting back and forth with him this morning? I was feasting on the Lord because I was connecting with someone. You know what he was doing this morning at 5:30 when he was texting me and encouraging me and edifying me? He was feasting on the Lord. That's huge. That's why you cannot isolate yourself. You know why you ladies loved that so much last night when y'all were in here? Because y'all were connecting with sisters. That was bigger to y'all than the grandest message I can preach. I mean, it is. I can come in here and just preach my socks off. But Stephanie, you connecting with your sisters in Christ, you know, it's just icing on the cake when Jen can come in and maybe give you a word or encourage or whatever. That's awesome. That's a God wink, you know, that stuff. But just the whole thing of connecting with other believers, I mean, that's been y'all's lifeline the last year. It's not necessarily that, because here's a lot of times, guys, I don't have the strength. I don't have the clear to always do what I need to do or what I can do. Sometimes I need Aaron and her to lift up my arms. Sometimes they need me to lift up their arms. Sometimes I need a word of encouragement. Sometimes I need a word of edification. Sometimes I need a word of rebuke. Sometimes I need a Nathan the prophet to come in and say, "Thou art the man." And when he did that, you know what David was doing? He was feasting on God. God loved him so much that he sent a prophet to call him out. Think about that. We sitting here shrinking up, saying, "I don't like that. You don't get out of my business and all that stuff." Instead of saying, "God, you love me enough." Y'all tell that to your kids all the time. I mean, I don't like to spank you, you know, and it's but it's for your own good. And they don't believe it. They're like, "Bull mess." You know, I don't believe that. But that's the truth, though. That's the truth. And it's, I love you so much that I'm going to do this in your life. So I cannot stress the importance of connecting with others. Guys, y'all let God connect y'all with some people in here. Don't isolate yourself. And come in like, man, I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to keep my head down, and I ain't going to, man, I'm just doing my thing, and some of these guys ain't going to be here next week, and I ain't never going to see them again, and so I'm just going to kind of, you know, do this and all of that stuff. And we miss out on great gifts that people are to us and that we can be to other people. So one way on how do I feast on the Lord is by connecting with other believers. Connecting with other believers. And sometimes it's through a lifetime of thing, and sometimes it's just somebody new and fresh. You know, brother, every time I'm with you, you know what I'm doing? I'm feasting on the Lord. I'm feasting on the Lord. I'm sitting there and I'm saying, yes, thank you, God. You know, you got Elijah, man, and he's running from Jezebel, and he comes into this place, and God's coming. And what is one of his complaints to God? He says, God, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one that hadn't bowed a knee to Baal. And then God has to come in and remind him, say, dude, I got 7,000. But when we get connected with others, that was the beauty of Jonathan and David's relationship. That was the beauty of Paul and Silas. You know, that was the beauty of Barnabas and Mark. You know, when Paul says, Mark, you too young and immature, go on. And it caused such contention between Barnabas and Paul that Barnabas said, I'll take Mark and I'll be a spiritual father to him. And I'm glad he did because he wrote a gospel. Whew. And at the end of Paul's life, Paul said, send Mark because he's beneficial for me. And he's beneficial for the kingdom. And the connect, I cannot stress enough. That's why we need this. That's why we need each other. All right. Two more things and I'm done. I am officially 2 minutes over. The written and spoken word. How do I feast on him? The written and spoken word. We talked about it earlier on the importance of feasting on him. And Jesus came in John 6, and as I said earlier, he said, I'm the bread of life. And he said, you must feast on me. And the Word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, as we feast on the Lord, we feast on Him in this manner. And so, I want to encourage and implore everyone in here, man, to as you do these other things, I love worship, and worship is a huge part of my life, but worship without word can be pretty shallow. You need the word. I want us to be a word church. I want us to be word people. I want us to be deep in the word. The word says, study to show thyself approved. Workman that's worthy. And I want us to be word people. You're like, man, I don't like to read. Podcast, baby, podcast, podcast. I got about 5 guys I'll plug you into, or women. You want somebody to challenge you, man, just you start listening to Christine Kane. Start listening to Lisa Bevere. I got several folks, man, I'll plug you. You will not go without word. But that's how you feast on him. It's through the word. It's through the word. Through the word. Written and spoken. All right, here's the last thing, and I'm closing with this. The last thing that I wrote down on how we feast on him is ministering in our calling. When you do what you're called to do, you're feasting on the Lord. Linda Carter, when you're leading in worship, you're feasting on the Lord. When you are pouring out, when you are emptying yourself, you're feasting on the Lord. You're feasting on him. You're feasting on him. See, here's the thing. We were we had a really, really cool dive down in the Caymans last Tuesday, I guess it was. Might have been Sunday. I don't know. We dove 2 different days and did 4 dives. And we dropped down on a reef, and we dropped down, man. There's a big old shark right there. It was cool. We got to see it, and it swam off, and then huge lobster and us. But we came around, and there was a giant sea turtle there, a big green sea turtle, and it was probably about 300 pounds. I mean, it was a big boy, real big for the Caribbean. I've seen them big in Hawaii, but it's big. Guys, this sea turtle was like this big, and you know, they're just cool creatures anyway. And so we're hanging out about 60 foot on this reef, and this sea turtle is sitting there, and he's massive in size. Usually when you see a sea turtle, they kind of just mosey on off and do their thing. But he was sitting there on a sponge, and he was so engaged with eating that sponge. I mean, it was a sponge, you know, probably that big, and that sucker was wearing it out. I mean, he was sitting there just taking chomps out of it, and I'm like, that sponge ain't going to last 30 minutes. I mean, just wearing that thing out. He was doing what he was doing. He was doing what a mature green sea turtle does. You know, and there's five of us, and we're hanging around from me to Linda, just, you know, just saying, man, this is awesome and all of that. And he was doing what he was born to do. But under him was this huge queen angelfish. And it was about as big as a plate. I mean, it was a big boy. And it was hanging out under him. And every time that turtle would take a big bite out of that sponge and pull it up, there'd be crumbs that'd fall out of the side of his mouth. And you know what the queen angelfish was doing? She was getting every one of them. And when I'm doing what I'm called to do, I'm feasting on the Lord. But you know who's getting the runoff from that? She is. And she is, and she is, and she is. And when I'm flowing in ministry, when I'm flowing in being a mom, ministry isn't just up here teaching the Word with a mic. Sometimes it's these guys out, y'all ladies, while y'all were enjoying this in here, two of our security guys were sitting in the park. Gordon and Chris were sitting out there being sheepdogs. So y'all could come in here in a place of safety and peace and no worry. And they sat out there for 3 hours being sheepdogs for y'all. But you know what they were doing while they were out there doing that? In them doing that, they were feasting on the Lord. Something God's called them to do and God's called them to be. They were feasting on the Lord. Y'all were the angelfish. Y'all didn't even know it. But every bit of that feasting is falling down, and y'all are snatching up that peace, snatching up that safety, snatching up that safe place, snatching that up. And when we flow in what we're called to do, we're feasting on the Lord. That's why I get energized when I come into this house, because I'm worshiping or teaching or hearing the Word, and it always energizes me. Me and Lori will tell you the same thing. She's got a bad back. I used to have a bad hip. God's healing my hip. That arthritis, that thing's going, going, going. It's gone, okay? Because I'm not having issues with that, and it is wonderful, and it's awesome and all that. But used to, I could come in here, and when I preached or when I was under the anointing and when I worshiped, it never hurt me. But when I left, it was like, oh, my gosh. You know, felt like I got drugged by a horse down a dirt road with one leg. But that's not the case anymore. But Lori will tell you this every time she comes in here and she ministers in this house. She said her back never hurts her. Never hurts her. Because when she's doing what she's called to do in His presence, she's dining and feasting on Him. And here's what we do is we come in and we say, I'm not in a position to minister right now. Well, you start ministering right now and it's going to free some, this stuff going to get broke off of you. I'm so excited to come in a setting like last night. Y'all go ahead and stand on your feet. I promise I'm done. I'm so excited to come into I walk in last night, and I see a group of ladies down here praying for a lady that's got some vision issues. And, man, just, I mean, reaching out to heaven for her. And, you know, first one I saw was Lindsay praying for her. And I told Deborah after it was over, Courtney, I told Deborah, I said, man, it excites me. You know, Lindsay comes up and gives a word a couple weeks ago in church. And then she was one of the first ones here to help Lori yesterday afternoon getting ready for the thing. And then she's down here, I come in and she's the first one that catches my eye and down here ministering for somebody. And the ministers, we're doing other stuff. Y'all get that? But when she flows in what she's doing, you know, that's when stuff gets broke off of us. I don't want to be the one that gives a prophetic. I love it when my daughter gets up and gives prophetic words. Because when you're flowing in what you're flowing in, stuff falls off of you. It cannot stick to you. You know, you may be going through a tough time. You keep ministering. And the enemy will come in and try to throw shame on you and say, you need to sit on the sidelines for a little while. And you say, no, this is my bread of life. He's called me and anointed me to do this, and this is my bread of life. And I'm going to feast on this bread of life, and I'm going to celebrate this bread of life right here. In the midst of adversity, I'm going to celebrate this. And if stuff falls off you, there's angel fish all around you, and they're eating every little bit of it. That's what I want us to get. That's what I want us to get. It is that we do what we're called to do. That's feasting on Him. How do we do it? You keep doing what's in front of you. You keep ministering to what's in front of you. You keep ministering to what is in front of you. Come on. The spirit of adoption, I say, just rolling through this house. You know. Eric and Jessica just took in Maya, and Maya's living with them. Jessica said, some of the teachers are like, why y'all, she just graduated, why y'all letting her move in now? I got tired of dropping her off at a homeless shelter. Is there not a cause? I'm going to minister to what's in front of me. And as I do that, it strengthens me. As I do that, it nourishes me. As I do that, it grows me. As I do that, it emboldens me to be the kingdom woman and the kingdom man God's called me to be. Amen. Father God, we love you.